Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Appreciate you guys hanging out with us in the loop. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reginald Adetula hanging out with you. And I spent the whole break just talking John's ear off to the point where I'm pretty sure that he was his eyes glazed over with me trying to just...
That's my normal look.
Have a basketball segment in the break for him. I was like, all right, whatever, man. It's preseason.
Yeah. I did say that.
Yeah.
That's why I don't watch the preseason.
That's right. And I was in there soaking it all up.
Breaking it down.
Like a dork. All right, let's move it along to Around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist, your no-hassle solution to reselling your tickets across every marketplace. Download Quick Assist from your app store today. That is Quickasyst. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. And I know y'all sick of hearing about Jerry Jones, but one more thing, because he keep talking. He just keep talking. And
keep
you know what?
Talking, man.
He really does.
And this is shut up.
Here's the problem, though. He's going to keep talking because that's what Jerry Jones do.
Of course.
Right? And so at some point, I hear you. We have to make the decision to stop listening. However, he keeps adding on, and he doubled up on this. Diane Rossini got him on the phone about the radio interview that we have all that has been heard around the world. Mm-hmm. And he went further as to say, I don't know what I would do, or I would go as far as calling the volume connotation as yelling. So basically saying,
that's fair.
I wasn't yelling, which no, he wasn't.
Yeah.
He was menacing.
It was an edge.
He wasn't yelling.
Yeah.
He went further to say, but the facts are that if I'm going to be grilled by the tribunal,
come on,
I don't need it to be the guys that I'm paying. First of all, the tribunal is hilarious.
Yeah.
Calling like the Associated Media,
yeah,
right? Like the newspaper folks. The guys I'm paying is, that's nasty work, because Dallas Cowboys, they have in-house media. Mm-hmm. That is not in-house media.
Yeah.
That is the
partner.
That is a partner. So that was tough. He said, I could take it from fans, take it from the other people. I take a lot of pride in how fair and how much I try to work with the media. We're brothers and sisters, but I was a little frustrated there today. The wrong ones were doing the questioning. Now, if those had been real fans sitting there, or if they had been people that knew what they were talking about, football
Ouch.
People, I may have had a different answer, close quote. That is nasty work.
You talk about a lot to unpack.
Jones. There's a lot.
You talk about a lot. First of all, and I put this exactly what you just said in a different way, Figgy. I was like, stop talking. Like, you're not making it any better.
He will never
he
stop.
He won't.
Talking. Nobody cares. Who gonna make me is his answer?
He won't, but you're making it worse. And, you know, talk about unpacking this. I don't need to be the guys I'm paying, first of all.
See,
that's wrong.
See, I don't like that.
That's wrong.
Unless I get a check that's directly from the Dallas Cowboys,
yes,
or Jerry Jones, you are not paying me.
Yes. And you've heard me say this before. I don't know if you have, Reggie, but, you know.
I don't be listening half the time, to be honest.
We can, your eyes glaze over. we can lay this out this way. And I often say I love working with the Texans, but I will never work for the Texans. That's a big difference. We have a great partnership. I mean, you know, I just love Cal and Hannah, and I love being around. I love, you know, having this partnership, but it's a partnership. I love working with the Texans. And we're localizing it because that's what they do.
Sure.
They're working with the Cowboys.
That's right.
Yeah.
You never work for the Cowboys. And that's why when he said that, it just kind of set me off.
Yeah. And plus, it's wrong.
Yeah, it's wrong. It's wrong.
Have my job, no partnership or not. I will still have that job. I'm employed by the radio company. Mm-hmm. I'm not employed by the Dallas Cowboys.
And now I think that one hits us because we are in the radio. The thing, though, if I step away from the radio side of this, that was also problematic in that the wrong ones were doing the questioning, right?
That's the second part.
The idea that, oh, man, they're just radio people stirring stuff up. I understand that that's how people view this sometimes. And you know what? To each their own. What those radio guys were bringing up, those guys that I'm very familiar with, not that I'm making that point because of that, was stuff that the fan base had been talking about for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Was stuff that even the newspaper folks, and there's been plenty of people in the media around that Metroplex that echoed those things and came to the support of those guys on that morning show, Sean and RJ in Dallas, is that, no, these are all questions that we would ask as well. And I thought that that was a level of, again, skirting accountability by Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
That is the reason that they're in this place to begin with is because, well, it was if there was fans, I'd listen to them. Well, the fans are asking the same. In fact, the fans have been asking those things even longer.
And harsher.
Yeah. And so I thought that was the real nasty business of it. And that portion of it, too, is like, well, they're not football people or whatever. Also pointing to the idea that he believes himself to be football people. And I know there's a lot of football people that look at him as not that case. And so I think that's the thing that gets frustrating is that, hey, he again is, you know, if there is someone that is detracting from what I was doing or that is questioning me, that means they are not capable of asking. And that is a level of ownership, decision-making, management, that's what gets you messed up is when you think you are above making mistakes. And I think that the blessing in that, as you localize it again, as we asked yesterday, would anybody in the Texans brain trust do anything like that? And I think the comforting answer is that is a no.
Well, that's how you read that line, and I think it's fair and accurate. I read it a different way.
Okay.
I read it a different way. When he said, the wrong ones were doing the questioning, all I saw was rabbit ears. They have said something at some point in the last few days or last few weeks or whatever.
Hit him in the chest.
That hit him in the chest. And you know what? You're Jerry Jones. You're going to get hit in the chest. That's rabbit ears, man. I mean, you know, I've said some things that have ticked off people. I know that. Hell, they've told me. But you still do your job. I think he has a personal vendetta against those two guys when he said that. And then the last thing is when he said, I could do it fine with fans sitting there, or if there had been people that knew what they were talking about, football people, I might have had a different answer. That is the texter. You never played the game. Why don't you be GM? That is dumb. That is flat out dumb.
And I feel like he don't really have a pulse for what the fans are saying.
Exactly.
Then. Because I feel like those guys do a good job as far as like getting the pulse of the city, getting pulse of the fans.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the reason they asked the question. It wasn't like a personal attack.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of been the theme of the offseason for the Cowboys. Like, why y'all not signing anybody? Why y'all just staying put?
It was a legit question, too.
Yeah. It wasn't a bad question. I would have never thought that would have ticked them off.
Yeah.
But shout out to them folks in Dallas dealing with that. Like that again, another reason to appreciate what you have here in Houston with this Texans management ownership. In fact, you had Caserio on with Payne and Pendergast this morning. I almost called him Sean and RJ. Payne and Pendergast this morning.
That might be a dollar.
Yeah, you know what? I'll throw that one in there. My bad, fellas. I love them guys in the morning. And I was listening to it. It was fantastic. It was a lovely rapport. And it just was a stark contrast to what you heard there. Some news that is breaking feels a little much, but just came down the pipeline. Will Anderson Jr., after a 3-sack outing against the Patriots, nabs the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. That felt like it was a given.
That had to be right.
I feel like they racking them up this year.
They are,
aren't
they?
A lot of players.
Yeah,
of the
it seems like every week somebody's
rookie,
winning something.
Special teams,
yep.
Offensive, Kiami, defensive.
Yeah, Kiami got Nico like two.
Did Nico pick up an offensive player?
I think
that's right.
I think he had an offensive and then defensive here. Special teams. Twice, maybe?
Yeah,
I think he got it twice.
Yeah.
He didn't need to do that. We got to figure out something.
I'm a man of my... That's going to a charity. We just have to pick which charity the Texans bucket goes to. That's all. shout out to Will Anderson Jr. You knew it as soon as he got on the field. That's three!
Yeah.
It's like, and it's player of the week.
Yeah.
And it came to fruition just 3 days later on Wednesday.
Did we get the chain?
H-Town Diamond.
Okay, let's run that one. 5-1. They should be racking up players of the week. You're right, pals. That is correct. Coach of the week. I don't know if he will get this, if that is even an award that you would give for speaking to the media. But Mike Tomlin, a coach that is well-regarded, just off of the strength of he don't lose. Like, yeah. He just losing season, what's that, is Mike Tomlin. But he has been in this interesting space where they had two quarterbacks. And you know what they say about when you have two quarterbacks, Lopez?
Yes, they have none.
You have zero.
It felt like Justin Fields has been out here executing what they ask of him very well. And yet and still, now that Russell Wilson is ready to go, Russell Wilson seems like he'll be the guy. And Mike Tomlin was asked directly about this in, as we continue our kind of lashing out situation. Why not stick with Justin Fields in this instance, Mike Tomlin?
Justin has been really good, and we've been really good at times, but not to be confused with great. Man, this is a competitive league, man. We're trying to position ourselves to be that team. And we got a player with talent. We hadn't had an opportunity to play, so we're going to potentially explore those things. Sometimes it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with what Justin has done or has not done. He rushed for 50-plus yards and two touchdowns in game. And so we're appreciative of that. We're appreciative of how he's taking care of the ball. But we're just looking at all the people at our disposal the same way that we do at any position. That's what you do in this thing. You better have your foot on the gas at all times. You better look to divide the labor up in the most appropriate way based on who's available to you and healthy. And that's just simply what we're going to do.
Man, that is a clinic. That is, he put on.
He
put on a clinic on how to handle. It's not even a quarterback controversy anymore because of Mike Tomlin. I mean, he explained it perfectly. It has a little hint of you never lose your job because of injury in there, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, but that's not what he said, but you can kind of pick up on that. And flat out explained, hey, we've been good. We're trying to be that team. And we need to give this guy a chance. Like, that is, like, why? If more coaches spoke like Mike Tomlin and explained things like Mike Tomlin, the world would be a better place.
I will say, if Russell Wilson come in there and stink it up.
Oh, he'll change it.
Yeah, because, yeah. I ain't trying to speak for fans or nothing like that, but.
Now speak for the man. Hey, the man of the people.
Steeler fans been very irritated with Mike Tomlin.
Sure.
And been wanting him to go, which is wild.
They're spoiled.
Yeah, exactly. They don't realize what they have.
How good he is.
Yeah. So if Russell Wilson, let's say he's not that good, then they probably gonna call for Mike Tomlin's head, which is so stupid.
Okay.
He'll
be out of work for about an hour and a half.
Yeah, no, he'll find another gig. Interestingly enough, someone said Tomlin explained it well. They just disagree.
That's fine if you do.
They're going hot hand type thing. Yeah. I think you definitely go with the better player in those circumstances. I think I'm just not convinced that Russell Wilson is a better player in this instance.
Yes. No, that's fine too.
Yeah.
Some but Mike Tomlin, rather, yeah, that's some a clinic he just put on.
Yeah, some people rather just go with the hot hand, sure. What's working right now.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see.
281 makes a point. D'Amico Ryans is younger than Tomlin, but he sounds kind of just like him.
Okay.
In that regard.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's cool.
I feel like D'Amico ain't going to give you that much.
He's not going to give you that much.
This is no disrespect. He keeps stuff to the chest.
He does.
He don't want to get nobody nothing.
By the way, on that text, they really said DR, and I heard Nick Casario calls him DR every time. And every time I hear that, I think Dominican Republic. I do not think D'Amico Ryans.
Dominican Republic.
I don't know why. Yeah,
when he said DR, I was thinking, like, who?
Right.
Like, oh, D'Amico. Go
Rio is okay. Who he's talking about.
All right. A couple things before we go here. The league approved Tom Brady's bid to become to buy a minority share in the Raiders, so he will officially be a team owner while a broadcaster, which means he won't be able to do those pre-production meetings. I'll be real interested
Nor
to
should
see.
Should he.
Agreed. I'll be interested to see what that does for his broadcast. I know that he has like those binders full of what he had, his prep for all the games that he had as a player. That becomes less and less effective as time goes. So I'm interested to see like how he's able to impact as a broadcaster. How have you felt about Brady early on from what you've
been able to see? Which maybe is not the best compliment.
But it's also early.
It's early, but
it's not must. All right. It's not must watch.
He's been okay. The other interesting thing about this is not only that he can't go into the production meetings, but
he can't come back and play no more. So he's done. That.
Figure he ain't. It's done.
Yeah.
He cannot be a player. So there's that. And then the third thing that came to mind for me anyway was If Tom Brady can't fix it, because he's going to be involved, even if he's just, was it 5%? Something like that?
That's a great point.
I think it's 5% or thereabouts ownership. But he's going to be involved. I mean, if he can't fix it.
I don't know if I would trust Tom Brady this early to be able to fix.
I'm talking about bringing in the right people, management, you know, everything.
Like, but see, I'm good with separating what he did on the field and ownership, man. Because we seen Michael Jordan be an owner.
Mm-hmm.
And he ain't do nothing good as far as being an owner.
Yeah.
He went in and beat them boys in practice every once in a while.
Yeah. Everything else, his draft class is awful.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to see more for Brady as far as owner Brady.
There you go. That's Around the NFL here in the Loop. Brought to you by Quick Assist, which is, you know, your ticket or your no-hustle solution for reselling your tickets across every marketplace. Please appreciate you, if I could speak, hanging out with us on this Wednesday. We are fast approaching on the 12 o'clock hour in which we will give away a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shots, which, by the way, we will be having a show out there, I believe, next week. Is that correct?
Yeah, next Tuesday, yeah. I believe. We're going to be out at Texas Star Grill Shots.
You want to come out and see the fellas, you definitely want to patronize Texas Star Grill Shots.
Which one?
Right here on Shepherd.
Okay.
Shepherd
right,
59.
Right around the corner. Okay.
Yeah.
That's my home Texas Star Grill.
There you go.
Okay.
We'll get there. But coming up next, let's talk more about this Texans team and the young portions of it. Is it already safe to say that the 2023 Texans draft class was the best in team history? Let's try and make the case. Next on Sports Radio 6.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Another salute again to Will Anderson Jr. with his first career honors as he picked up the Week 6 AFC Defensive Player of the Year, Player of the Week.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, get that out of the year.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
We're just going to speak that into existence at this point. But yeah, Week 6 Player of the Week award. So that makes four of those Player of the Week honors for Houston. And that's out of what? 6 weeks, three apiece. So that's out of 18, right?
I believe that checks out.
Houston accounts for four of those awards out of 18. Not bad.
That's pretty damn good.
Not bad.
Ties in with what we're going to talk about, right?
Well, that was where the segue was about to come from. Will Anderson, part of a vaunted 2023 Houston, Texas draft class that Lopez is positing. Could we already be in the place a year and not even a half into this where this draft class is the best that the Texans have had in its history?
Well, let's look at that, okay? And look, it's something that over the course of the season, certainly as we go into the offseason, depending on how far the Texans go, that more people might sort of open their eyes on this. But when I saw Will Anderson with those three sacks,
That's three.
That's three. Dominating. And I, you know, I get, you know, we all understand who they were playing and the offensive line and all that. But nevertheless, he got three. I mean, nobody else did. In that squad. Let's look at the 2023 class. Like you can look at the first round, but really you go going beyond that. Just C.J. Stroud at two and Will Anderson three, that might determine it.
Yeah, because if you're talking about value in a draft, obviously positional value of quarterback matters a ton. And then I think this is where we get into what's the positional draft order, right? Like, it's quarterback, and I've heard people say either the guy that defends the quarterback or the guy that gets after the quarterback. So either way, you're talking about either a tackle or you're talking about a edge rusher. Well, you got an edge rusher there. So you got two of maybe the arguably three most important positions, and it seems like you got, like, franchise legend level players there. Now, of course, it's early to say that, but I mean, the only other draft classes that you can point to, positional value wise, Texans wise, of course, is what when you draft Deshaun Watson. Of course, we know how that ended up, but in the moment, that was a great draft, which was 2017. Your second round pick there was Zach Cunningham, a linebacker. Your third round pick was Deontay Foreman. And those are probably the guys. Julian Davenport was also kind of a 2-year
Julian
kind of starter.
Davenport. I forgot about him.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of guys that ended up being longtime starters for you. You only had one guy who went to Pro Bowls, which was Deshaun Watson. I think then you start looking at the other portions of that. Now, Zach Cunningham had 6.5 sacks. Carlos Watkins also was in that draft.
Yeah.
I think that when you look at, okay, you got the quarterback value, but the other value, I'd take Willie Anderson compared to the rest of those guys, with all due respect to Zach Cunningham, Carlos Watkins, Davenport, but with all those guys, I would still look at it and go, you, just off of the strength of your two first-round picks in this, got a ton of value there.
All right, let's compare and contrast. And people may argue this, but I've always believed that the greatest draft class in Texans history was 2006. And that was Mario Williams.
Yep.
DeMeco Ryans.
Okay, how much are we then valuing a player, but then also a coach coming through?
No. Just as a player.
Strictly as a player, he was a dog.
He was a stud.
A monster.
Well, like I said,
2-time Pro Bowler, 8-year starter for
rookie of the year?
To me, until this year,
seven
until 2023, I don't think there was any question 06 was the best class. Mario Williams. Dude had basically 100 sacks. I think he had stuck. He retired at like 90-something.
97 and a half.
Is that what it was?
Yes, sir.
Mario Williams, DeMeco Ryans.
Yeah.
Charles Spencer, who was going to be a badass but had an injury so that doesn't really matter, but he was. He was Eric Winston.
7-year starter.
Owen Daniels.
9-year starter, 2-time Pro Bowler.
And David Anderson.
Yeah.
David Anderson was a very productive player.
Wide receiver.
Friend of the program here, friend of the station. So 06 is the standard to me. If you want to pick another one, fine.
And we're talking about, again, positional value. DeMario Williams. Did I call him DeMario? Mario Williams, because I'm looking at DeMeco at the same time, who was edge rusher. And then you're talking about, you know, value gets kind of a little wonky there, but great players that will continue to stand up in the annals of Texans history for
sure. Right. So let's compare 06, the greatest class in Texans history, 2023 already. Again, even if you just say Will Anderson and C.J. Stroud, I think this is a better class because you're talking about potentially, and not even potentially, projecting as transfers, like truly game-changing, paradigm-shifting type players for your organization. Just those two guys. I think he's going to be a badass. Juice Scruggs. Third round. How you feeling about Tank Dell right now?
Feel great.
How you feeling about Tank Dell right now?
Right.
Because in the third round, with all due respect to Devon Achane and Josh Downs, those are the only three players that are really reaching a pretty high level.
From 23.
So you've got that guy, Tank Dell. Henry Toto has been effective. Now, I don't know what he's going to end up being, but he's been effective.
Yeah, and I think that the only thing that, because now we're doing a lot of projection with this, the ones that are easy are the top end where it feels like the projection is easy or they've already just done enough where you feel comfortable just giving them their due on those picks.
Right.
You know, sight unseen when it comes to, like, I guess the remainder of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Toto, it's hard to do the projection. For me, he's, as a player, he's looking good. Once we start seeing concussions, and maybe I'm just really close to him being in the concussion protocol right now. But the style of play, the one of the things that's been great as a progression point for him this year mm-hmm. has been the ways in which that he is very quickly identifying runs and getting into that run fit and meeting guys at the line or in the hole. That's also on the same side. One of the things that scares me about his health is that, hey, man, you throw your head in there and it'll rattle around. And then we're talking about concussions and what does that mean for the future of his career? I don't know. But at least when it comes to playing, yeah, you're right. Like, I think that he could absolutely be one of those kinds of guys that's on your team for a long time and maybe doesn't get a ton of accolades around the league, but is appreciated locally because of his play.
Right. And I'm, again, I think the safe projection or the top two, how many classes in Texans history have two all pros? Because I think C.J. Stroud, it's safe to say he'll be an All-Pro.
At some point,
correct. I think it's safe to say Will Anderson will be an All-Pro.
I feel good about that as well.
What about Pro Bowlers? It might be safe to say Tank Dell's going to be a Pro Bowl player. He's in the hunt. He's in the hunt.
I guess.
Right?
Right. Like, I understand that Nick Cassero earlier today on Pain and Pendergrass, when he was asked kind of about Stephon Diggs, and, like, obviously that is a one-year deal as of right now with the restructuring of that. He's left it kind of non-committal in some ways, but not in a negative way that, hey, you know, we're open to it and we'll talk about that basically when we get to that point was the gist of his response. But I've always still felt that the depth that you have and the youth that you have in that situation allows you to, as you're moving forward and growing past kind of the veteran players that you've brought in to help get this thing going and ramped up, you have guys that can now come in and take over that spot. And Tank Dell is chief among them to, like, be even more of a role if you end up in a situation where, all right, Stephon Diggs is not returned to this team next year or he's not here for much longer. Now even more responsibility, and you give him an opportunity to have that shine to be a Pro Bowler.
And then this is, it's more than an oh, by the way, but it's less than, like, a projection. But how many classes, you know, in the second round do you get a center that's projected to probably start 6-8 years, you know, if not more, in Juice Scruggs? It's a class, man.
Yeah.
I mean, 2023 already, you can say it's right there, I feel, with 06.
Yeah, I think all that's remaining is for some of the guys down the roster to have some, like, longevity with it. Because I feel like the high point is already there when you talk about CJ. CJ, you booked that extension already. Like, book all that. That is done deal, right? When it comes to, that is a quarterback for a very long time in this. Will Anderson.
Done deal.
Book that extension. That is a defensive end for this team for a long time. Now, are you going to get, as you mentioned, Toto for a while, right, where he becomes kind of a
Jared Patterson.
Is he going to hang around?
Right? He's started 8 or 9 games already.
Exactly, you know? Right? And then Hutch, they like him. Is he going to be one of those guys that maybe comes a guy that is consistent on this team for a while?
Yeah.
And then that pushes that up. And so, yeah, I'm 7-12, they say, are the only Pro Bowlers from 713. I think that Tank could get to that place. I mean, he was on an incredible pace last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that with more visibility, that's when kind of that Pro Bowl opportunity comes. But I think it's fair what you're talking about, like having some of that trepidation for it. But I think that the possibility is what we're talking about more. And I think that leads you into that place. But even then, right, like two with the possible Pro Bowlers plus guys that could be kind of lifelong Texans or at least long-term Texans that really
establish their career.
And then this is something that I don't even know if I'm being sacrilegious and getting to the space. What is the multiplier if you have a team that competes in a high level and, dare I say, wins the Super Bowl?
Well, yeah. No,
right? And guys that contribute to that type of thing, that boosts your status and I think makes that class bigger.
Well, that 06 class is the one that kind of took them to 11-12, you know, kind of the glory days then. And so kind of the proof is in the pudding kind of thing. But
appreciate
that's
that. I don't know who brought this bell in here, but I love them for it. It's just fun to hit every once in a while.
Yeah, it's the start of some good times, man. Start of some good times here.
Exciting. Someone mentioned J.J. Watt in 11, where you have 2011 J.J. Watt, Brooks Reed, Brandon Harris, Rock Carmichael, Shiloh KO, T.J. Yates. Oh, the legend, T.J. Yates.
Second is that better than 06?
No.
It's just like, how much can T.J. Watt and Brooks Reed carry? And of course, when I say and Brooks Reed, that is also me being pretty nice with all due respect to Brooks Reed.
I'll tell you what, 2022 might be in, you know, somewhere in the mix. Stingley, depending on what you think of Kenyon Green. Petrie, depending on what you think of Petrie. Christian Harris.
Yeah, Christian Harris is going to bring a lot. Yeah. Damian Pierce. Like.
Hell, Quatoriano's still hanging around from that class. No, I'm just saying.
You going to make me say something about Tegan Quatoriano?
You ain't had to bring his name.
Don't do that to me.
Tegan Tarantino.
shout out to Larry and Steph.
Hey, 30 years yesterday, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
I might need to watch that again here soon. If I say that, like, I'm going to have time to do that. Whatever. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I think even the idea that you can make a reasonable case about that is what someone said KO was trash. Don't do that. Don't do that. Well, it gives us the opportunity to really appreciate the fact that this 2023 class, man, looking like an incredible job. So salute to the Brain Trust and specifically Nick Caserio for getting that done. All right, let's get into what's popping now in the loop. We'll do that next, talking about some baseball, but then also stadium funding. My favorite topic. It'll be yours too. Next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
Yeah, you're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Let's get into what's popping on this Wednesday here in H-Town. Appreciate you hanging out with us wherever you're listening, however you're listening. Let's start with this. It seems like a relatively small story out of Green Bay, but it is interesting because you are playing the Green Bay Packers this week. Probably your best test of D'Amico Ryans is to be believed the best quarterback that you'll face all year, or that you've faced to this point in the year. And the Packers signed one of those dudes that we don't consider to be a football player, veteran kicker McManus, to a one-year deal. And this is interesting because Brandon McManus obviously had not been anywhere. He's a older kicker. You might remember him.
Jaguars.
Yeah. Obviously, I think I remember him playing quite a bit with the Broncos. But Brandon McManus, big leg back in the day, but, you know, a little bit older, veteran kicker. And they do this because they've only used one kicker, Braden Narveson. The first six games, they've had six kickers thus far since the end of end of last year. When it comes to, so, like, they've been looking, they've been searching for kickers, and obviously they do this because Narveson, who is a rookie, he missed a league high five field goal attempts.
That'll get you on the street.
And so they go and get a older veteran kicker that we'll see how consistent he is. But this is interesting because this might take field goals out of the realm of automatic for those Packers come Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because this figures to be a very close game in which a kick could spell the difference. I like the Texans odds, you know, with
Kyle Fairbairn. If you're running a kicker out there.
Versus the Packers odds. So, yeah, this isn't a little thing, and it might be one that looms large on Sunday. So, I mean, they're scrambling for a kicker, and the Texans are cool. We got ours.
Yeah, so they've bounced around a lot of names. Greg Joseph, Anders Carlson, James Turner, Jack Podlinski, all that. I don't even know if I said that man's name right.
Mm-hmm.
But they've bounced around with all sorts of kickers, and they are going to settle on Brandon McManus. I imagine that's the man you watch out for come Sunday. But it might be beneficial for your Texans. So I know that is the Texans are a dog for the first time.
2.5. I just looked.
So that's
by the way, that's a field goal.
Is it now?
That's a field goal.
Okay. All right. Interesting how that lines up, ain't it? All right. So that is definitely a space to watch. Some other things that are happening. Obviously, we got some baseball yesterday. That was ALCS game 2 that took place. And I was watching that, as I mentioned earlier, over Adam Splain's shoulder, which apparently is a fun way to watch baseball. I did not know that, and now I do.
Adam Splain has some screens open now.
He sure does. Yeah. And it was really interesting to watch this because ultimately it feels like the Guardians are losing games as opposed to like the Yankees out
sloppy.
There beating them up. And sloppy is a great way of describing it.
Yeah, they've been sloppy, I believe. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think it was two errors that they had, which postseason, you multiply it times, or two mistakes. I don't know if they were errors, but two big mistakes. What a shame. Gerrit Cole didn't pitch real well. Neither starter really pitched well.
I'm getting the sense that you're just not that upset about Gerrit Cole not pitching well. I don't know why I feel that way.
I am not a Gerrit Cole fan, and Astros will remember, you know, I'm a representative of myself. As they're in the locker room after the World Series. But that's neither here nor there. Sloppy win. Yankees couldn't run the base paths for squat. And somehow they ended up 2-0, up 2-0 in the series. And Aaron Judge got his first postseason home run of the year. So
yeah, thanks for showing up, buddy.
Yeah, he finally showed up.
It was wild because during the course of this, and of course, you have him protecting Juan Soto, but during the course of the Guardians decide to walk Juan Soto in order to get to Aaron Judge. And of course, that is Juan Soto. Juan Soto has been a monster.
Yeah.
He has been a menace right this year. And so I understand that to some degree, but it just feels weird that if you take that context out, and I understand you take context out, you change what's happening. But if you just think of it as You walk the bases loaded to get to Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
That is such a wild thing, but that highlights, one, obviously how good Juan Soto has been, but kind of how lackluster, I guess I shouldn't keep using that word because it already got me in trouble earlier today, but how, you know, just it has not felt like Aaron Judge has been in his element. Now, of course, he gets a two-run blast in the course of this game, as you mentioned. But it, he just had not been the Aaron Judge that that you supposedly hear about. You know?
I'll tell you what how bad it's been for Aaron Judge. On that home run, Gleyber Torres went back to first base to tag up. He thought he didn't even have confidence in Aaron Judge getting it out of the park. And they were giving him a hard time about that. Gleyber Torres went to tag up. Oh, it's just another lazy fly ball from Aaron Judge. And then John Sterling just made the night for me when he was talking about all the horrible base running the Yankees were doing.
The 0-2, a bouncer, and Rizzo is going to be picked off. He's in the middle between second and third. Hedges now throws to second, on the way to third, back to second, back to third, tagged out, end of inning. Boy, if that wasn't the Yankees, that's what they do, run the bases like drunks.
You bunch of drunks.
Like drunks.
You bunch of drunks.
And they had two of those in one inning.
Two. It was sloppy, but somehow they're up.
Shout out Jazz Chisholm. Good job there, buddy.
Yeah.
A guy that I typically enjoy. But yeah, the Cleveland Guardians, Tanner Bibby wasn't able to go very long.
Yeah, neither one.
Inning in a third, and they left 11 on base, including a couple of bases loaded situations.
Two bases loaded.
Man.
That felt like that hurt the way that you said that.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to, you good over there? Hey, do we need to check on you?
Hey, I ain't going to lie. Once Judge hit that home run, I'm like, yep.
Cut off the TV.
Yep. Let's beat the traffic.
So, yeah, the Yankees beat the traffic at home. That's crazy.
Beat the traffic to the refrigerator.
Hey, AKA, time to go to bed.
Yep.
Good night.
To that spiffy new refrigerator. That's beat the
right.
Traffic.
So the Yankees get a 6-3 victory. They're up 2-0. Are you in that place where you have a particular rooting interest in how you're, like, Sean has really devised how he's rooting when it comes to this postseason
baseball? Well, he got deep on that, didn't he?
He got real. He's creating, he's writing out thesis statements as to which teams he will and will not root for.
So Yankees, Dodgers, Figgy, call it.
Or are you going a Subway Series for a World Series that will drive us insane?
I ain't gonna lie, these are some of the worst teams possible to beat in the running for a World Series.
Well,
man,
Yankees, Dodgers are in the World Series. Look, who you got? Who you pulling for?
Man, honestly, look, I ain't gonna lie. I like Jazz Chisholm too.
Mm-hmm.
I will be rooting for Jazz Chisholm.
Like I'm cheering for
y'all. Just pick the guy that y'all
for
like.
Shohei.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
How about you?
I really
told y'all what I'm rooting for.
Honestly, get out of here.
I told y'all what I'm rooting for.
I just want them all to have fun.
Honestly, I really want the Mets to take it off.
Now that would be sweet.
But I know it's going to be a Subway Series, I do not want a Subway Series, man. Yeah. So I hopefully the Guardians, come back and just win it, but. I want the Mets to win it all, but
is it hard to stand on that fence?
Just play good baseball. I don't care. I have
tenuous.
It's a win for everybody.
Yeah. No, I got great balance. I used to play wide receiver. Hey man, just make sure the baseball is good. Yeah. That's the only thing.
I just want them all to get a juice box and
I don't care if y'all eat or drink at all. Just play good baseball
roll
for
up.
Me. Entertain me at the very least if it's going to be annoying. Whoever wins, someone not even watching this year. God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Vaya con Dios. But yeah, that's the baseball that's happening. The NCAA, apparently, we talked about it in college football on a Tuesday. And of course, if you were watching college football, the biggest game of the weekend was Oregon, Ohio State. Close your ears, Fig. You don't want to have to relive this.
Oh, it's all good.
Okay, cool. Just want to make sure you're good. But yeah, Ohio State falls late, and their last chances as the clock was dwindling down to get downfield and give themselves a game winning field goal were kind of hampered by a 12 men on the field penalty that Oregon took it was a penalty, but it also ran clock off time off the clock that disallowed Ohio State from really getting down to where they needed to get to. And Dan Lanning on Monday, he said we did this on purpose. We really wanted to, meaning they gamed the system. And now the NCAA is looking into a rule that could possibly maybe fix the loophole that was that Oregon utilized in order to drain the clock. You seem like you are out on this potential.
What are they doing? Why are you doing this and penalizing smart coaches?
You selfish sack of you know.
Seriously, like
I hate
Dan Lanning. Knew the rules.
He found the loophole.
Worked on it. He said they worked on it in practice, which I guess they did because it worked like a champ. gained about 6 seconds off the clock and won the game because of it. Now you're going to penalize a smart coach?
Yeah, Figgy, what'd you call it?
You found the loophole.
Yeah.
It's a loophole. This is not a penalty. I hate when people do this, right? Like, why are you penalizing? No, it is not about you. Stop being so damn self-centered. It's not about the coach and the loophole.
You
it
found
is about
the way to win.
The whole idea of the rules of the game is to administer the game so that it is fair on either side and that you... The
spirit, it was fair on either side.
The spirit of the game is that you go out and you decide it in the playing of the game, not
and
in
they
the
did.
Rules. Okay, yeah. And that's fine. You have found the loophole. They're not taking the win away, but they will change a rule to make sure that that is not a loophole, and now we are back to playing football as opposed to playing rules ball.
My thing is, it could have happened. What if it happened on the 5-yard line? And it was like, I felt like
they ran out of time.
Yeah, or even if it just happened on the 5-yard line and they ain't mean that to happen. Like, do you kind of take that away? Do the coach still get penalized too?
I feel like this is a cop out by the NCAA.
Nah.
And let me give you an example. Okay, so you're gonna litigate that. You're gonna change the rule on that, which a smart coach took advantage of,
sure.
and a dumb coach, someone in Columbus would say that.
Yeah, you didn't have to do all that. You're doing a lot right now.
And a dumb coach got exploited and lost the game. You're gonna do that, but you're still gonna let players look like they got shot from the third deck. When they're trying to slow down another offense, that's what you need to look at.
I think that is a lot more tenuous to handle. That's almost impossible. That's
a lot more difficult, right? Nothing we can do about that. Dude, they're falling. They're looking like they got shot.
Yeah.
And they're just 100% healthy.
You are right that is a difficult thing to handle. Like, that is something that needs to be worked on. I just think that it's a lot more difficult to figure out and litigate who is and who is not hurt in that moment, as opposed to you got a 12-man on the field intentionally, and we can maybe it was an accident. You are not taking time.
It's the same premise. It's gaming the system.
Maybe it's an accident, but you talk about penalizing. Who you're actually penalizing is the team that supposedly is receiving benefit from this penalty by running the clock. I think that the rule and the fix within that is somehow making so that, like in the NFL, where there's a 10-second runoff associated with this, where you can decide, no, we don't want the time to run off, or yes, we do. Like, I think leaving that up to the coach and asking, hey, this penalty, there's this associated with it. Do you want it or not? Mm-hmm. I think that is how you clean this up to where you get away from the accident versus the intentional.
I think all it takes is for the other team that's on the opposite side of this find a way to game that system. So try to, you know, if they know a team could potentially do that, try to do something else to counter that.
But now we're playing rule ball instead of football.
Thank you. Because I'm saying don't penalize them.
Yeah.
Because basically, I'm not saying it's exact, but basically there is a rule that defensive coaches exploit so they can get rest and slow down an opposing offense.
Sure.
On this side, there is a rule that defensive coaches exploit, you know, so they can maybe run some time off the clock and win a game. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite.
I don't view it as hypocritical.
So you want a rule. You want a rule to stop that.
Yeah, I would not want them to go and like change the result of that game because of the rule. Within that was the rule that was there. But then to say, well, that was the rule that you have would then imply that you can never make a rule better when you realize that there is a flaw within it. And I think that's asinine. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like in that instance, absolutely. You see that there is an issue with the rule. Try and make it a better rule so that, again, we are no longer focused on the rule. We are focused on football. Which
then fix the other one.
Certainly. But now you're doing whataboutism. Right? What about this other rule?
No, they need to fix that too. That's not whataboutism.
They do need to fix that too.
If you're looking at defensive rules that coaches take advantage of, let's try to fix the other one.
I'm with you.
A million times more prevalent.
I'm with you. I understand. I understand why that would be a little bit slower to handle because, again, I don't know how you, in the moment, litigate. Is that guy actually hurt or is he taking time?
Yeah.
You know? But there you go. You're in the loop. That is what's popping here. I didn't even get to my stadium funding, although now that I think
there's
about
always
it,
time.
That would have just given you an opportunity to talk about the Astrodome, and we don't need to do that.
It was a blessing for all of
blessing
us.
Blessing in disguise. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Wednesday. We are entering the 12 o'clock hour, and that is when we will give away a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shop, so you definitely want to keep it locked here. You also want to keep it locked because coming up next, we're seeing teams make moves. We obviously saw the Texans even make a move, sending Cam Akers to the Vikings. Should the Texans make any that, you know, return players? And if they do, what are the power ranking of needs? Let's do that. 713-572-4610. We'll discuss it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.